of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
It's time for Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I'll allow it.
An open and honest discussion about how the law applies to the headlines.
You not only insult me, but you insult the integrity of this court.
The defendant is not guilty.
The defense is wrong.
But somebody in this courtroom is.
I'm being charged with a crime.
A trial by court martial.
Is that what this is? I'm being charged with a crime?
Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
Yes, it is time for Legally Served. Franz Borghardt is in Mexico. In his stead would be Richard Sprinkle. Thank you for filling in, sir.
Yeah, anytime. Good morning, Brian. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
Doing great.
We've got to start off with the state Supreme Court overturning a case that has been, well, it was in the news a good bit while it was happening, and then it got, a person who was found guilty is now innocent, is the long and the short of this.
Correct.
Break it down for me, what happened?
So, the case we're obviously talking about involves Bridget DiGirolamo.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter was, the jury, at her trial, the jury came back with a rather confused verdict. They had some questions for the judge.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a clear verdict. The judge answered their questions, sent them back to deliberate and come back. Then they came back with a non-unanimous verdict. And the judge, again, said, you all have to decide one way or the other, sent them back one more time. Then they come back in with a not guilty verdict.
All right, let's reset here real quick. This is about that teacher who was accused of, I believe it was aggravated assault.
Aggravated
or convicted
assault.
Of aggravated assault.
Not convicted.
No. You gave the whole confusing
right.
Part of that right there. But a former teacher from Broadmoor Elementary School.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken, her conviction led to her not being a teacher anymore, right?
She was terminated.
So she lost her job as a result of the what happened in court.
Right.
The court, by the way, which was Judge Ebony Johnson Rose, who we've talked about recently on this show.
Was it that recent?
It was pretty recent. in another case involving Franz, if I'm not mistaken.
In another firm we know and love.
From the Longman Jackie Back Law Firm,
that's
for
right.
sure.
That's right.
But this particular judge who has been publicly ripped a whole lot lately, we're seeing a lot of overturning here. We're seeing a lot of mishandled justice for sure.
One could say mistakes were made.
Yeah. So the accused, Bridget DiGirolamo, was fired by the East Baton Rouge Parish School District after video showed her waving a weapon at a car traveling on a flooded street in her Shenandoah neighborhood back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a flood. There were people driving around during the flood, and it was photos or video. I don't remember which one it was, but one of them went kind of viral. Of her looking like she was attacking people in a car.
There was a video. There was a video.
I thought so.
And the optics of the video weren't exactly great, but, you know, these videos don't always show the whole story.
The video rarely shows the whole story.
Right.
The video often starts well into the story. You miss the first, say, 4 or 5 chapters of any story when the video starts, and then it stops at an amazingly convenient time, too.
The funny thing is you don't need a Hollywood producer to edit these little telephone videos.
No, you can do them on your phone.
That's right.
I know them on my phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, long story short, her house had flooded the year before, I think it was, and she'd gotten everything repaired, and so now there's another hard rain, and people are speeding down her street, so she was in kind of a traumatic moment.
Right. Right. Yes, and this was not about the people in the car. This was about the speed of the car.
About the speed of the car pushing wake into the yard,
right.
Water going into the house, etc.
Right. A yard should be a no wake zone. So, what happened that overturned this?
Well, what happened that overturned it was that it wasn't overturned. Well, hang on. Let me. This one's so confusing. Let's start from the time the jury came back with a not guilty verdict.
Okay.
They come back with a not guilty verdict. The verdict is read in by the clerk of court. The court accepted the verdict, dismissed everybody in the courtroom, sent the jurors back into the jury room, and then the court did something it really shouldn't have done. It went in, and the judge went in and had conversations with the jurors
mm-hmm.
without either attorney present. Nobody from the state, nobody from the defense was there. So the judge is not supposed to do that ever, right? The judge isn't supposed to go have private conversations with the jurors. So after this private conversation, the judge comes back in and says, wait a second, I'm calling everybody back in. The jury found her guilty of a lesser included charge.
Legally Served with attorney Richard Sprinkle, continuing right now. We're talking about the case of Bridget DiGirolamo, which I can't decide if I don't want to stop saying her name because I can't say her name, or I need to keep saying her name until I get it right.
Well, you may not have to learn it, but future law students are going to have to learn it. That's for sure.
So that's how jacked up this case is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is going to this case is like they enjoy saying on TV, backed up and jacked up, because mm-hmm. there's a procedural snafu. I don't even know if we have time to discuss every element of it, but like we said, the jury had questions. They came back with two goofed up verdicts. They come back with a not guilty verdict. The judge, Ebony Johnson Rose, dismissed everybody from the court, goes and has a talk with the jurors, comes back, and now there's a new guilty verdict of a lesser included charge. So everybody gets called back into court again.
Okay, before we move on to the appeals from there,
right?
Why would that even happen? Is that a normal thing for a judge
absolutely
to say?
Absolutely not a normal thing.
It's not a normal thing for a judge to say, I'm sorry, jury, we need everybody else to leave, and I need some one-on-one time with y'all because I feel differently than the jury feels.
Yeah, there's rules against that.
Okay, I thought so.
And also, once the not guilty verdict is read into the record and the court accepts it and the jury's dismissed, which is what happened, the verdict's final. Mm-hmm. The judgment is rendered at that point. Mm-hmm. So it was over at that point, and that's what the Supreme Court ended up finding. After months and months of appellate work. So when we're done with that day, the attorney was Franz, our beloved Franz Borghardt.
Yes.
He was representing Ms. DiGirolamo. He did the natural thing and moved for a mistrial because, frankly, it was just confusing, and he did the smart move was to try and intervene in some kind of way and stop this bullet train from jumping off the tracks. So he requested a mistrial. That was denied, but then he objected, and that's important because objections are what lay your record for the appellate process.
Okay.
So then we get involved because at this
we
point.
Meaning the Longman,
we meaning the firm of Longman Jackie Back get involved because at this point there's a possibility that Franz might be might have to be called as a witness.
Okay.
So at that point, Ms. DiGirolamo needs different representation because her attorney may now be a witness in the matter. So we get involved. We first file a motion to enforce the not guilty verdict. That was not met with, not well received at the court.
Fair.
Then we filed a motion to recuse the judge. The judge self-recused. She did, and respectfully and rightfully
the
so.
The one right thing to go along the way so far.
So anyway, she did that. Then the court winds up in the court of new Judge Louise Hines. And she hears the matter and winds up declaring a mistrial 3 months after the case had already been decided by the jury. And see, the problem with a mistrial is now that means Ms. DiGirolamo can be retried.
Okay.
And our argument is no, she can't because double jeopardy had already attached and she'd already been acquitted.
Right.
So no, you can't retry her. So we go and then argue it at the First Circuit Court of Appeals. First Circuit Court of Appeals said you lose 100%, Ms. DiGirolamo. You are convicted of this crime. So then we take it to the Louisiana Supreme Court, and we see the Louisiana Supreme Court came back fully in our favor in a per curiam decision, meaning 7-0. They all voted for us. So,
yeah, and that was the part I was reading up on yesterday, which included the quote, a judge must be faithful to the law and maintain professional competence in it. That feels kind of like a blunt criticism.
Was that from the opinion or from one of the judge's concurrences?
One of the judge's concurrences. Sorry.
Justice Crichton.
Crichton, yes.
Yeah.
That feels harsh.
It was harsh. And if you notice, there's another concurrence from the Chief Justice, Weimer, who kind of counseled against the justices criticizing her individually too heavily in their opinion.
Unfortunately, a mistake was made by a relatively new judge. Our role in the case immediately before the court is to review and, where appropriate, correct a mistake so that the judge and others can learn, make corrections, and not repeat the mistake. Ouch.
Mm-hmm. However, that's a lot more cushioned than the other.
Weimer does go on to say to castigate this judge in this case is simply not the proper forum,
right?
Because of the need to evaluate and consider far too many facts, which are simply not in evidence in this matter. Passing judgment on this judge at this time in this forum on this court could itself implicate the Louisiana Code of Judicial Conduct and result in recusal, and then that's where the quote stops. Now,
sure,
but just by saying that, I feel like that's completely implicating the judge. Like, just by saying that, it's completely calling out the judge, saying she's either okay. I apologize for putting too many words into somebody else's mouth, but she's either too new or too stupid to get this done.
You could easily come away.
No, like I said, I put those words in. I'm not asking anybody else to confirm or reaffirm that statement. But my takeaway from that is, this was a good little spanking by the Supreme Court.
I'll just come out and say I wouldn't feel comfortable if I were in the judge's shoes right now after reading that opinion.
Okay.
Particularly the concurrence.
Well, and bear in mind, and this is for the audience's sake, this is in the wake of the BRPD officer, Steele.
Correct.
Donald or David?
Donald Steele. Also a...
Longman Jackie Bag.
And Franz Borger.
Y'all are just teaming up all over the place.
We're tag teaming it. Yeah.
So, but this is in the wake of that debacle.
Right.
Where he was found not guilty of the two more serious charges, but guilty of what seemed like a made-up charge. And then that was thrown out like a couple days later,
It didn't
too.
Seem like a made-up charge.
No.
It was a fully made-up charge. It is not on
not
the books.
Not an expert.
So malfeasance in office requires an underlying felony. It's a two-level crime, right? If you're a public servant, public official, officer of law, whatever, acting in capacity, and you commit a felony,
yes,
then they can get you for malfeasance in office.
Right, because the felony coupled with the power of the office.
I'm sorry. The malfeasance is a felony. All you have to do is commit a crime while in official capacity to get a malfeasance charge. The malfeasance itself is a felony. However, it's felony level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that case, in Mr. Steele's case, what the judge found was she did not find any evidence of the sexual misconduct. However, she wanted to find him guilty of misdemeanor malfeasance, which does not exist.
Does not exist, right.
So, yeah, so that was problematic.
Okay. But that was 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago? Long ago?
It was within the month.
So to be in the headlines that often, I mean, look, if you're a judge, you want to be like an offensive lineman or NASA. You only hear your name when it's bad news.
Yeah.
So that kind of repeat of a headline.
Neither seen nor heard.
Right. Yeah. She's having a bad month.
It wasn't the best of Aprils. I wouldn't be feeling super confident and comfortable if I were in her position right now. That's me.
We're going to pivot here and talk about another story real quick, and that would be St. George. Why? Because it's the biggest news story in Baton Rouge in the last 20 years. Maybe not. Maybe not that big. We've had a couple floods.
Yeah.
Alton Sterling was a pretty big story.
It's pretty big.
I was thinking in terms of since Central became a city. That was 20 years ago.
I mean, the Bequick was a big thing.
The Bequick was, you know what? That probably was the biggest. Big thing. Yeah. Nonetheless, though, St. George becoming a city, fifth largest city in the state.
Yeah, I've got people texting me from out of state that I haven't seen since middle school asking, so do you live in St. George now instead of Baton Rouge?
Yes, you do.
Like, yes, I do. And who are you again?
Crazy. I was on WBRC's website last night doing prep for the show. In fact, one of the stories from Top Stories and Trending about how the folks in St. George are asking for kind of their tax money back from the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Byline on that says, or Dateline on that says, St. George. It doesn't say Baton Rouge. It says St. George. So BRZ's already on board.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
BRZ's already saying this. Where did this happen? It happened in St. George. Now, that being said, what's the chance of this going back again? Per the Daily Report, the Daily Report quotes WAFB. They say opponents of the incorporation of the city of St. George said Tuesday they will ask for a rehearing before the Louisiana Supreme Court. State's highest court ruled last week in a close 4-3 vote to allow for the incorporation. Baton Rouge attorney Mary Olive Pearson, who represents those fighting the incorporation say she will file a request for a rehearing before the May 10th deadline.
Yep. You have to file a request within 14 days of the mailing of the judgment.
Okay.
So, yep.
She's going to file that request. Yep. She's going to ask for a rehearing. Mm-hmm. What's the likelihood of it actually happening?
Slim. However, okay, they can grant them in certain instances. The main reason they would grant one is when the court's decision is clearly contrary to the law. So think about this. You're asking a court who just made a decision to go back and relook and see if they made a clear error of the law.
Okay.
Okay. So what are the odds of that?
No, what are the odds of that?
Not likely. Okay. On the clear error of law. I mean, there's some other reasons that don't apply here, like the court could rehear it in a criminal case if some newly discovered evidence came to light, like DNA exonerations or something like that. They could rehear a thing, but that's not going to apply here. If there's other issues that need to be determined to properly dispose of the entire case, that's a possibility.
What other issues?
Well, the folks opposing St. George say that the court did not decide two key issues, and one is the date of incorporation, and two is the actual map. The Supreme Court did not make rulings on those things.
Okay, but to follow along with that, though, no one challenged the election, so the date of incorporation should be the same date as the certification of the election.
Well, that would be the argument for the folks in St. George.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
I would have trouble finding another way to see that.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
And I told you privately that municipal law is definitely not my specialty.
No, but, yeah, all good.
But, yeah, if a thing happens in the law, in courts, whatever, in elections, and nobody objects, nobody challenges, nobody, in our world we call it making a contemporaneous objection, then that's the way it is.
Right.
Right? You didn't challenge it. It was ruled on, whatever. That's
you,
the way it
you
is.
You didn't challenge the election. Therefore, once the election is certified, this is now a thing.
It's a
what
thing.
What you challenged was something completely different. So, now, as far as the folks in St. George coming out and, you know, going full Scarface and say, bleep, you pay me. Like, I don't know that I... It's like, guys, you got your city. Just pack it in.
I mean, look, I guess they're looking for some back taxes at this point.
No, they are. They are. Well, if everything was with the certification of the election, I understand their argument. I just think that's Terrell Owens putting the ball on the star in Dallas Stadium,
it
right?
It is.
All right.
It is.
Well, I don't want to compare Drew Morrell to Terrell Owens. But
hey, man, maybe. So it's not likely. I mean, it's really not likely. Now, the one thing they won't hear on a rehearing, they won't hear anything new.
Okay.
Right? So you only get to argue about the fact that the court didn't get it right on what they were looking at originally.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to bring new stuff in unless, like I was saying, in a criminal case, there's some new evidence that's never been brought to light before. But in a civil case like this, they're not going to look at anything new that wasn't originally briefed. So
even if there is a rehearing, I mean, I understand it was a 4-3 verdict, right? I understand that it was close. This wasn't 7-0. But at the same time, though, this was a big deal. You were going to get their full attention.
Sure.
It's not like you're going to have one justice who says, I was a little distracted that day. I didn't have it dialed in, and I got it wrong.
It's not just the justices. I mean, they have staff attorneys. They have law clerks.
Sure.
There's like an army of people working on this thing.
Of course.
Yeah. It's not just those seven. So anyway, you're going to have to convince all of them that they got it wrong,
mm-hmm.
or at least one, because it was a 4-3.
That's really all it takes, though, right?
Right.
So if I were Mary Olive Pearson, wouldn't I be encouraged to do that?
Well, sure.
Say all it takes is one?
Yeah.
I mean,
but you're gonna have to put your best argument forward, and you never know. This one might come back 5-2 or 6-1. You never know.
There's also a point where you have to put your weapons down.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a point where you have to say, "Okay, I get it.
It's
now time. It's now time for us to start healing.
Let's reach across the aisle.
And every further attempt to draw this out." And we know it's all about money anyway. It's mm-hmm. not about whether or not there's a city. Every further attempt to draw this out only lengthens the amount of time it takes for the wounds to heal.
Sure. And how much city resources are spent on both sides fighting it.
Yeah. He is Richard Sprinkle. I always appreciate you filling in, brother. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Absolutely.
This has been Legally Served as part of Mornings with Brian Haldane.